No one made.
Okay, 7 o'clock. And do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I move that we begin the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville. All right. Every meeting, we start off with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. So if we all stand and recite,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we take a moment of silence and bless this meeting? Okay. This evening, we basically have our auditors in with the presentation of the 2017 city audit. But before we begin that, Harold was going to be out of town for this month and next month, so went in and contacted KLC and got the rules on a video teleconferencing. And basically, it's as long as everybody can see and the individual hear the individual, and it's clearly stated that the video is teleconferenced. There is there was a notice put out in the hallway yesterday, telling that this would be video conference, and it also included where the primary location was going to be for this conference, the teleconference. If we lose the broadcast, we'll try to restore it. If we can't restore it, we're still within quorum, so we can still continue the meeting. If we have more people on video, as long as we maintain a quorum, the meeting can continue as long as broadcast goes on. If we had just two people here and three people were broadcasting, okay, then and we lost the broadcast, we'd have to cancel the meeting or stop the meeting at that point and try and restore the broadcast, and if it isn't, then it would have to be canceled. But that's the general rules. So because we're teleconferencing, I'm really asking for everybody to follow the rules of night and keep the noise down, because it is screaming. We're on hardwire here. He's on Wi-Fi at the hotel. So again, it was just maintain courtesy. If you have something to say, raise your hand. If you just start jabbering, I'm going to have to ask you to leave, because it's going to be hard, because he gets feedback in his ear with all the noise. He was just telling me a little bit ago that. So with those rules in place, all right, we can, is there any questions about the, okay. All right, Mr. Hoagland, you're on.
Oh, Mayor, thanks for having me tonight, everybody. I think we've performed the 2017 audit for you. We'll try to catch up and hopefully soon we'll do the 18 and 19. Get you caught up to state of Kentucky. Everybody's got a copy of the audit. Along with the audit is a letter. This is our communication to those in charge of governance, which is the mayor and the city commissioner here tonight. And basically, this letter just, you know, expresses certain things to you. The first paragraph starts off by saying we've been engaged, performed the audit, and that you got to sign an engagement letter for us. And then talks about other things about practices and policies of the city, that those are the responsibility of the city itself. Talks about accounting estimates. What are your important estimates? You don't really have very many estimates other than the useful life of your capital assets. And it's based on historical lives of similar assets and management's evaluation of capital assets. Difficulties encountered in performing the audit. Did we encounter any difficulties in performing your audit for 17? No, we did not. It went smoothly. We are doing, going back a couple of years, but everybody's pulled the records together, and Dan's done a nice job. And then we'll get him to perform the audit. Corrected or uncorrected misstatements. We made no material adjustments to your financial statements to your trial balance of what we received for June 30, 2017. We did not have to make any material adjustments to those balances. Second page, we have no disagreements with management. The mayor signed the rough letter here for us tonight, basically stating that all the information that we needed was provided for us to form a proper audit. So this is just kind of a summary of the whole audit process here. In this we've got these nice financial statements here. Like I've said in the past, there's 24 pages long. So there's a lot of information in here. Read all this, you know, at your leisure, as much as you want to. It's historical information now. It's, you know, 2 years old. But I'd like to go over what I think are the highlights for the year 17. It's important to also know that you've got an unmodified opinion, independent audit report here on page one. Unmodified opinion means financial statements are materially correct. Okay. And then we get into the management discussion analysis. Now, this is a good area to look at to kind of bring everything together about where you were financially back in 17 on an audit basis. So turn to page 3. Page 3 is an audit page. And this provides at the bottom the statements of net position. Okay, basically your balance sheet. Okay. And it compares 2016 to 17, which is always good, you know, when you're looking at financial information to be able to have something to compare it to. So, you know, as you see here, you know, your assets increased because you had revenue during the year. So your assets went from 652 in 16 up to 745, almost 746 in 17, about a $93,000 increase, okay? As you scan down through there, you know your liabilities decrease somewhat. So basically, your bottom line, you had an increase in your net position of approximately $95,000. So that's all positive. So from 16 to 17, your assets went up, your liabilities went down. And when you turn to page 4, you'll see kind of how that happened. On page 4, we're looking at the statement of activities, which is basically your income statement. Okay. So on your income statement, you'll see at the top your total revenues from 16 to 17. These have all been audited. Revenues increased by $53,709. You see the decrease there, and you can see what areas they increased in. Your expenses, you're able to actually, expenses decreased from 16 to 17. You know, there's various reasons for that. Expenses for roads and sidewalks and things like that. You know, you make different spending decisions from year to year. But bottom line, from 16 to 17, expenses went down. Revenues went up. Therefore, you had a positive change for the city of $95,860. So you can kind of think of that as just, you know, that's how much your net income increased from 16 to 17. So those are positive things, 16 versus 17. So I'd like to concentrate on that because as the audit partner, when I'm reviewing statements, I tell you this in the past, I look for any unusual or significant fluctuations in numbers, things maybe we don't expect, and then we investigate those more. Didn't really have that situation in 16 and 17. Now, I realized that the prior administration was still around, you know, back in those years. So let's turn then, because the rest of the statement, your government-wide financial statements, for example, here, we'll turn to page 6. This is just a summary of what we've already looked at more in detail. Page 6 states your cash accounts, your investment accounts, your CDs, property taxes receivable, other receivables, insurance taxes, etc., and the capital assets of the city. And page 7, again, in more detail for you to look at versus the front, but I like those condensed statements in the front. Statement of activities, basically your income statement. You see your general revenues, property taxes, insurance, franchise fees, investment earnings, miscellaneous. And then you see above there what your expenses are. And again, the net change in positions, basically the net income for the city for the year, $17,900. Now, what else is significant for you guys as a city commission to know? You know, your footnotes or the standard footnotes, read those at your leisure. If you have any questions about those, you can ask. Same footnotes that you've seen for the last 3 or 4 years. So that doesn't really change. Now, in the back, we have an internal control report. And as you know, back in 17, you know, we had some internal control issues that have since been corrected. And we talk about those issues on page 23 and 24. Now, these are the same, basically, the same findings that we had in 16. Probably the same findings we had in 15. So there were things going on with the city again. Internal controls weren't as strong as they are now. So the finding, the first finding there talks about segregation of duties. And did not have enough segregation of duties, had the same individuals doing too many things. We talked about this last year. Same finding as 15, as 16. I mean, so management's response, you can read that. Here's what you're doing. You put in a great new procedure. The mayor's outlined it in detail. So that's your all's response to our finding. Had a finding that you needed better separation of duties among the personnel. You guys have implemented the policy here, and there's your response. We know back then in 6/30/17, expenditures were not reviewed and approved by city commission in the manner in which they should have. You know, as of 1/1/19, you know, you're doing all that. You're approving it, city commission. Again, this response is the same response as we had the prior year. Because things have changed starting 1/1/19. Certain wages were advanced and paid without using the city's payroll vendor, and those wages were not included on payroll tax forms. Okay? That's, you know, again, a situation where things were not just being done exactly how they needed to be done. Okay? Again, you guys, the new commission, here you are. You know, now you're in line with what you're supposed to be doing. Kentucky League of Cities Official Academy was held January 19th. I know you guys attended that, so that finding has now been straightened out, I would say. Back in 17, you didn't have adequate bonding insurance. You do now. That's what's important. You do now, as we sit here tonight. And then, you know, another finding on page 24, your cash and your CDs weren't completely collateralized for insured based on us digging in. You know, the prior administration assumed they would be, you know, one of the banks or so, and they were not completely collateralized. Okay? And we noted that in the footnotes of the financial statement. Since then, the city is still in the process of moving all the funds to Independence Bank, correct, Mayor?
That's correct.
And they'll all be collateralized.
Yeah, what we have left in First Financial is below FDIC. So.
So as we sit here tonight, you're good.
We're good.
You're insured or collateralized.
Right. So I have paperwork to show it.
Yeah, those findings there have been corrected. Now let me think. For 6/30/18, we still have some of those findings?
Yes. Yeah, you will have those findings again.
We'll probably still have the same findings. We'll, Mary, will get into it and see if any of them, you know, go by the wayside. We had a couple more. We had one or two additional findings in 16 that we don't have for 17. But so I'll open the floor up to any questions. Again, I know this is kind of a historical document, but it's a requirement by the state of Kentucky. It's a compliance requirement. It's audit every 2 years. We have one every year now because it's just common sense to do it that way.
Have any questions, Harold?
Hey, Harold.
I do not.
Are you working on 17 now?
18.
Oh.
Yeah, this is 17.
Just 70, that's right. Okay, so you're working on 18 now. That's great.
Well, speaking for Mary now, she's at home ill tonight. That's her task. Tomorrow.
I don't think she started work on it yet.
Yeah, she called me. Yeah, she called me and got me to sign the paperwork so she could start doing some preliminary
stuff. I've got the city audit stacked about this high on my desk right
now. I think she's asking for anything.
She hasn't answered you for anything, but she's probably looking at some of the reports and stuff.
Now, on your behalf, tomorrow or the next day, probably tomorrow, I'll submit to to the state of Kentucky, financial statements, on to financial statements of the department for cities, local governments, DLG, so I'll submit that, and I always copy the mayor and Dan on that submission. City clerk, too, I copy you. And you'll be done with 17, and we can move on and wrap up 18.
And it should be...
be interested to see what the 18 numbers look like. Hey, you know, I've said this before. The good thing about you guys, you know, as a city, you know, you got money, you got cash. You know, you got money set aside, you reserve money, and, you know, not every city is quite in that situation. Some of them have much tighter budgets.
We're still tight.
Oh, I know.
You never know when the next big snow.
Please, any questions? Come on, I've come all the way.
When will they release the road funds? Do we have to be completely...
You have to be through 18. We have to be through 18. Once we get through 18, then we'll start collecting interest on additional road funds. But we'll get the big check. As soon as they get 18, we will get, within a few weeks, the big check of everything back to when they've allocated it, but they haven't released it.
Okay.
Good news.
Oh, like, yeah.
You get what you get.
Been there. We've been there before.
Oh, yeah. Other cities have been too. All right. Well, fantastic. Good seeing you folks tonight. Be careful out there. It's a little slick.
With the tax season around the corner, do you think 18 will be done like late spring? Or do you think it'll get done?
You know what? Honestly, I have to discuss that with Mary and check her schedule. Because, you know, Mary's done your job all these years, so it's not efficient for us to put anybody else on.
Right.
And Mary's one of our more experienced people, so I can't just bring a junior.
Well, it can't get that more difficult because Dennis and I were on the commission in 18. That's the reason why you saw the increase in 17.
Right.
Because we started eyeballing everything really hard. Plus, we started getting the banking statements in July of 16. Right. So, that part of the commission was able to start looking at hard at what was going on, too. So, there was a lot that happened at the beginning of 17.
Yes.
And then Dennis came on in January. It just proceeded because then we had a second two motions.
Right.
Okay.
All right, well, good. I'll dismiss myself. Do you want my copy for anything? Probably not. I'll destroy it.
I've got enough.
You got an electronic copy. Everybody, does the clerk have that too?
Yeah, everybody got it. Got an electronic copy, even to the attorney.
Fantastic. I missed Steve tonight.
Well, he had something come up. He said he'd be 30 minutes late.
Oh, I should say that's it. Okay.
Expected to be 45 to 50. Yes, sir.
That'll be on the website, right?
Yes, it will be posted. That's another thing. First thing tomorrow, I will be posting the PDF now that it's approved. Oh, we got to make an approval.
That's all.
Right. Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the 2017 audit?
I made that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner McCaff. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? All right, it's unanimous. Thank you. We've already had that.
Okay.
Yeah, we did that last. We did that 2-3 months ago. That's okay. Why I signed it.
That's the one I remember you doing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, moving along. Let's see. The next item on the agenda is: did everybody get a copy of the October 15th city meeting minutes? I believe it was sent out in the email to you, and it's also on the website. Was there anybody that found any problems with it that we need to have corrected before we take a vote on it? All right, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes from the October 15th, 2019 city meeting minutes?
I make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Bevel. Do I hear a second?
I second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. You can jump in time, Harold.
I'm just
okay. All right.
To it, buddy.
All right. All those in favor of accepting the minutes as they are, say aye.
Aye.
All right.
All opposed?
Aye.
All right. Everybody's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. City financial reports. Okay.
He's delayed a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So his eye, I think, is approved.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. He's on Wi-Fi. We're on hardwire. That's a little bit of the reason
right
why.
Right up on that, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah.
That's all that confusion over there.
He always wants to have the last word anyhow, so.
Me?
No.
Dan knows confused when he sees.
All right. Thank you. I was too busy reading. Moving along to the city financial reports. Everybody get the financial reports. And let me bring up the fact that Independence Bank had a changeover in systems, and it was, I found it not too hard to follow, but it, all the numbers matched up on the financial report again. How many months now? 11. So is there any questions on the financial reports? Do you have anything to add? Okay. Do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports for the month of October?
Motion made.
Thank you, Commissioner Gravel. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Jump in.
All those in favor, say aye.
I do.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, it's unanimous again.
Aye.
No. Okay. Steve's still got about 10 minutes before he said he'd be here. So let's just go ahead and move down to old business, if that's all. What do you got?
Did you skip citizen participation?
Oh, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Thank you for... This is good. Now I've got something to do. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to bring something up that they would like to discuss or talk about?
Well, I'll talk.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank y'all. They brought me Christmas cards because I appreciate it. I've created about 150 that I will be delivering up to Mission Barbecue. I took 50 today, and I have 40 done, and 5 more came in, and I got 2 more batches, so thanks, y'all.
Do they have to be Christmas style, or can they be any kind of cards?
Christmas, Bob.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure because I got a drawer full of those freebies, and I was just going to...
Well, you should be getting freebies in the mail, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I got 2 pads of paper today for somebody, maybe.
Okay, well, cards and letters. Okay, thank you, Mrs. Metcalf. Anything else? Okay, what? Oh. There he is. All right, we got one more thing. Thank you for bringing it up because somehow I missed it. Okay. Harold, did you see anything on the expense report that you weren't okay with?
No.
It's okay.
Fine.
It's fine?
Yeah, the only question I had on it was the electrical. Why the electrical was being meter read for the irrigation systems and not for the lights. I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation.
What was the question?
Oh, when he was looking at the utility bill, you know, some of them have a reading and some of them don't. Mm-hmm. Are we on even billing or something? Have you ever asked that question? Are we on even billing or something?
On some of the things we are.
Okay, like the lights?
Correct.
Okay. And the irrigation system and that would be on a meter.
Correct.
That's what we thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay. Would you like to sign these when you come back, or do you want to? You want me to just say okay via video?
Say it via please.
On the sheet?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to go to Ben's house and sign them?
I will.
Okay.
I'll be there Friday. Ben, are you going to be there for Friday?
During the day, but not in the evening.
I'll be in the neighborhood all day. I get home late Thursday night.
Okay.
I'll call before I come.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for being on time like you said you were going to be. You made it within your time frame. Thank you.
I felt like hanging outside for about 7 minutes. I thought, you know.
Well, thank you very much.
I'll report for duty early.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me do that.
Not a problem.
I had my knee looked at and adjusted.
Well, we had the city audit, so I knew it was going to take a while. Okay. What I have on the list is, how are we doing on the status of the city orders? The rental property?
Yeah, a couple of things. Bev came to the office yesterday, and it was a very productive day. Dan, he doesn't like me to sing his praises, so it'll be very short. He prepared for each year delinquent taxpayers. So Bev and I worked on a collection letter. I had used them before when I was given the annual deficient tax.
Yeah, speak up. We've got conference over
okay.
here.
All right. My wife always tells me to be quiet. So I'll speak up. Dan did a great job of giving us the annual from year to year that people have not paid their taxes. In the past, when I was given this information, I developed a series of letters that we'd send to people to say, here's what the amount is at some point. So Bev and I refined that yesterday. There's a form letter, and she's starting with the oldest years and going forward. It's a beautiful letter. All she has to do is compute the 11% interest and then 1% interest for each month after the September tax year to the date that it's paid. That's going out. And then as to the renters, we got the information for every landlord who has property that is not registered online with the form for registering rental property. So we worked on that letter. I had massaged the letter a couple years ago. We refined that. So those are going out. And Bev had some really good ideas about how to add and to make those more efficient. And so we've got that running. She's got the forms. I'm paying her to do this. I'm paying her to do this at home. She doesn't have to come out to my office anymore. She can do this from home. Now what that's going to do, we're going to find the landlords who don't register the properties, and we put that in the letter. As to the delinquent taxpayers, we put in there that if you don't pay them, we're going to report a tax lien. So within that letter, we have all of the base tax, the 11% interest, 1% interest, and all of that. And so that is because of Dan's brilliant work. That should start generating income. What I haven't done, and maybe Dan's done this, but for each year, there's a total amount of money that if they pay the tax, that's the revenue the city will get. Now, if you go back to 06, so if you come forward, that's a hell of a lot of money. So what happens is they either pay it or they don't and record a lien. And then when they want to refinance or when the mortgage company is foreclosing because we have a lien, we have to be made a party defendant. So over the course of the next couple of years, we should be generating a lot of income from unpaid taxes. And then going forward, we'll do this on an annual basis. Roy Coleman did send me this stuff for like 5 years, and I kept begging for it. But we're making up for that now. Now, we have this issue of the easement. The Millers thought they were in compliance, and what I'm doing is I'm getting online and find out Mr. Miller.
Sorry, I have a question real quick.
Sure.
When you were talking about placing a lien on a property.
Yes, ma'am.
In the event that a property owner would declare bankruptcy, would we be listed as
yes.
someone who would be able to
yes.
collect
yes.
back taxes?
Yes.
Okay, I just wondered.
It doesn't happen that often because usually that's handled in foreclosure, but if they do, then we're listed as as you probably know, Linda, there's different degrees of creditors. Unsecured creditors usually
right.
don't get anything,
yeah.
but it's a secured purchase money security interest people do. But yeah, we would just file a proof of claim there.
Okay.
But what happens is we have the lien there, and if the mortgage company files foreclosure, they have to do a title search, and every entity that has a lien on that property has to be named as a party defendant so that they can come in and get their money. So that happens that way when people refinance or when they sell. All of these things have to be paid. So I think initially there should be some sort of a initial certain percentage of people that are paying. That would be good and stuff. So ones that don't pay, then in time we'll get all that money. So, and then
I just explained the renter's thing. That too, when we start, the fine is up to $100 a day in that rental ordinance. So if they don't get on board,
no, it's up to 500. It okay. starts at 100.
Oh, 100 to 5. All right. So he's thinking 5. I'm thinking 1. It is 100 to 500. All right. As to these, the Millers, we believe are in compliance, but Mayor Bob did a great job of taking pictures and sight lines and stuff. Part of their shed still remains on the easement, part of the fence still remains on the easement, and now that they've taken a portion of the fence down, they've got a standing pool there that's not protected pursuant to Metro government safety guidelines. They have to put up some sort of barrier. So what I did today, and I worked on these three letters, it doesn't look like much, but what I'm doing, I'm going to clean these up. I wanted to get these out for discussion, but you know, we had Mr. Miller, but he's married to an Amy. I got to check to see if Glenda Brown's married and let her address this to everybody that owns the property. And, you know, I started off being real nice and said, I said, hell with it. Just take it out. If you don't, we're going to do it and we're going to charge you for it. So I'm going to make, the first one I did was Glenda Brown, but then when I got to McFarland, I got a little better at it. So I'm going to make the McFarland letter, I'm sorry, the Brown letter mimic the McFarland letter. Miller is more troublesome because of the issues I just explained. They still are part of the fence. The shed is partly on the property. Mr. Stoneham tells me that it's a movable shed, so if they can shove that over, remove the rest of the fence, and then put it in, it's not, we can't cite them for not putting a barrier around that pool. That's the prerogative of Metro government. But I say within the letter that if they don't do it, I'm going to notify Metro government, who will be out there to cite them for that. So I'm going to clean up these three letters, and if anybody has any questions, I'll answer those letters.
Are you going to put in a time,
I've been using the date of November 30th.
Rather than to say not timely paid.
I have to put the November 30th date in the Brown letter, but it's the McFarland letter and the Miller letter, I'm saying November 30th. Now, that doesn't give them a lot of time, and that's one of the things that you guys can discuss, and if you want to tell me to put a later date in there, I can do that.
Yeah, because you're saying if they don't do it, then we're going to do it, and then we're going to charge them for doing it.
Yeah, we have a right to go on.
Correct.
If I came along and I put an old bathtub in your front yard,
yeah.
You have every right to remove that. But
right.
The issue here is that if we pay someone to go in there and remove an object, and if there's an expense to the city, then I can just send them an invoice for that. And then if they don't do it, we can just lien the property for that.
Well, then just say if you don't pay us for having it done within 30 days, or
right.
rather than saying within a timely manner.
Yeah, from the date of the letter, and that's what I usually do. That's
yeah.
a good idea. But
yeah, Bob will not be out with the chainsaw cutting down the rest of the fence or a metal grinder cutting down the chain link fence. So it'll be contracted out. We'll probably also have to include having the surveyor come out and actually marking on the fence exactly, and I'm talking about all the fences, exactly where our line is and cutting it from there, because the last thing I want to do is cut more than what it has to be.
Well, I think if the surveyors come out and put stakes in the ground, they can't very well argue with anything.
Well, yeah, but the stakes aren't up next to the fence. They're only at the points that are the surveyor marks.
But I'm saying they can run a line from...
You use a chalk line.
Well, let me put it this way. You could if there was no obstructions in the way.
Well, okay.
And we've got, in the case of the Millers, you see the picture, there's a big evergreen tree. It's pretty hard to get through that evergreen tree with that straight line. So, again,
the evergreen's going to stay, right?
Yeah, the evergreen's yeah. not. The evergreen's is a natural thing. I don't know who planted it there, but where you're facing the one, where you're facing the evergreen and looking back, where you can see on the other side of the evergreen, the shed's there. There's actually fence behind that evergreen and next to that shed. So, I spent a lot of time walking back and forth on that back easement once that place was open to get an idea of what wasn't taken down. And that's why we're real adamant. Because if we allow, and correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, if we okay what they've done so far, then we can't come back on them at a later time.
Yeah, it becomes, you it's a waiver, you know, you waive it.
Yeah, we waived it by just allowing it, okay? So that's why I've been real adamant about this line of sight. It's not hard, even though I'm using the willow.com to get an eyeball on the direction, okay? I actually was there when the surveyors put the stakes in, so I'm very familiar where those stakes are from one side of the Miller to the other side. In fact, all three properties, I'm real familiar with those stakes are. The ones on the front of Mecklenburg properties, both of those sticks are gone. But the one thing that I remembered when the surveyor was trying to stake the one, kept pounding and pounding. He says, I can't get this thing in the ground. So we started looking. Somebody had an old evergreen there where to mark the point, okay? And so I can find that old evergreen stump anytime I want to, and then can take a measurement on that if we have to. But I think it's in the best interest. If we've already had one survey go. If we end up having to do this, I think, and I would like the commission to agree that the surveyor needs to come out and mark the appropriate locations on that line so that we know exactly where that line is up at the fence from the front edge or wherever it's at. Like on the Mecklenburgs, we just need to go up to the fence and mark the front on both of those where the line is. And the back, you can tell because it's right there. The stakes are right there within 2 feet of where the fence line is. Harold, was both the stakes for Mecklenburg out there when you cut the lawn the last time in the back?
Last time I was out there, they were.
Okay.
That's been about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. All right. So we'll address this once there's been non-compliance again, and because our next meeting is December 17th, and that's probably going to be about as much time as they need. I'm sure they're going to love having this on their mind during Christmas, but they've known about this since May, and nothing's been done. I got one question. Did we get all the rental or the vacant house registrations back?
No, we haven't received any more this month.
Okay, so what, we have about three maybe? Or did we not receive any vacant houses?
We received them, but we had the numbers listed.
Okay. All right. So that's another letter that's got to go out. Okay.
And by the way, on the tax letter, I'm telling them to make the check mail to the city of Woodland Hills and to mail it to the city.
That's post office. That's fine. Yeah, we don't need that going into the
originally live box. There's a lot of business. Why do you want to be doing all that? I said, God, I don't. You
know. No, we want to be able to
get those
and
go right into the bank account.
Yeah. I don't want them coming in directly in the bank account. Okay.
No.
Dan needs to get them so that he can figure everything out and make sure it's right. Is there anything else on as of this time?
Well, I would like to throw this out. For years, I took the commissioners and their spouses and like Bob's girlfriend, if he wants to bring one, to Christmas dinner. And we usually did it at Martini's, but last year we didn't do it because of the angst that all of that. So I'm throwing that out if anybody's interested.
Well, you know how I feel about it, Steve. Unfortunately,
you can't get a date, is that it?
No. I had a problem with it to start with, and I still continue to have
it's
a problem with it.
It's the city not spending money. It's your
it doesn't matter. It's like a bribe.
Well, you don't come and the rest of us will, and we'll talk about it.
Are you inviting us out to dinner?
Yeah, I
That would be nice.
Well, yeah, so anybody who wants to have, what I usually did, we did it after the December meeting.
Last year we went to 9:30, so we didn't have time.
So why are you objecting to Steve asking us out for a Christmas meal?
Well, he can do it as long as he doesn't do it on city meeting night.
Why not? If we leave here,
because
once we dismiss the meeting, it's over and done with. We're on our own.
Yeah.
I can leave here and get ripped for drunk if I wanted to.
If you want to get drunk, I'll have you home.
I'm just saying.
But that's up to anybody who's in on that. You let me know. I'll make reservations, usually a martini.
I'll tell you what. You all make your plans. We ain't making them here at the city meeting. And that, I hate to say this is that. One thing that
you asked me if there was anything else. I mean, you know.
I know.
Call me.
Send them a private message.
I have my girl call your girl.
I don't want to know about it.
Why you can't? The city can't do it. Well, we can't discuss it during
city
business.
But
that's why I don't need to call.
Did he ask you if there's anything else? He sure said.
Except
city business.
Yeah. Anything else about city business? Okay. Nothing else about city business.
I was going to invite you to Canada boat fishing, but now I can't.
That would be well over the $100 limit under the ethics ordinance. Yeah, you can take Ed. I'm sure Ben would be happy about that.
That's right.
Okay.
Ben's going with me.
All right. Old business. Anybody got? Does anybody have any old business that they would like to discuss?
Well, this might. We're still working on this streetlight thing, and part of it's going to be old business, and part of it's new business.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that's fine. It's still old business.
Okay. Bev did a wonderful job sending out the original letters. We sent out 7 letters. She got 3 back. I followed up with emails and visits to the other properties. One, we never could even find the owners. It's a rental property. I left a note with my card on the door. Nobody ever called me. So I just said, okay, we have done our due diligence in trying to contact these people. And obviously when Jim Pearson with LG&E, you know, Outdoor Lighting came out originally and looked at the areas, he gave us the best location, you know, to lay the cable. He didn't just say, oh, here, go there. He picked the best location. And when you can't get the people who have property on the best location to do it or even to reply, then you get your second choice. And so that will come on the new business part. But that's where we stand on. We did everything we could to contact the people, and they just simply didn't reply. They just didn't respond. So.
Well, it's still old business, even if you sent new letters.
But it just, I mean, Bev sent letters, like I said, emails. I did emails. I went to their homes. I left notes. And they just simply wouldn't reply.
It was just a form that we sent out and said, please sign here. And I gave them an envelope with a stamp on it.
So on the new letters we sent out, we actually changed the wording, and we put the words do and do not. So they have to reply one way or the other. Maybe. I don't know.
I know we got one letter back that was undeliverable, if I remember right.
Yeah, that was the one we couldn't fact. Yeah, that was the one that Dan tracked it down to a bank in Ohio.
Yeah.
And so, what are you going to do? And so, that's. I think Steve said, well, try to get in touch with the renter. Maybe they know where the landlord is. So, that's where I left my card, the note. I didn't even hear back from that. So. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's the old business on the street light. So.
Okay. Any other old business other than what I'm about to bring up? Okay. Alright, well, I can tell you on the spring Easter egg hunt, I'm still looking for a team. Alright, the eggs were ordered yesterday. We've got 2,000 plastic eggs, but I figured we'd just use 1,000 or less. I'm going to let the team figure out how many we need to use. I have one gold egg that's larger than the rest, and we have six, I guess I would call it bronze and silver eggs. My thought was, if we can find somebody who's a good scavenger, Carol, you have a friend?
You have a friend, and she's on a cruise.
Oh, well, that's all right. She ain't going to be on a cruise till April.
I was looking at the minutes, and I thought, oh, shoot, I didn't talk to Sharon. She's on the cruise.
Okay. Well, anyhow, one of the thoughts was, you know, other than putting candy in the eggs, is if we can get little, I don't want to say choke hazards, but if we can get something that's got, we can put tags in it, maybe with some jelly beans or whatever, but put a slip of paper. And it was like the old pull-down tags at the carnivals.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the, you know, you basically, you bring back and you check your number to see if you won anything.
Okay, that's a good
one. I won the big prize on the first pull, and the people got mad. So I left the prize there so they'd still be able to sell. But that was one of the thoughts that I had. And I'd like to get a committee. And so I was wondering, does anybody object to me? You know how I had the Halloween notice on the webpage?
Yeah.
Where it had the hours and the date?
Hours and the day, yes.
Okay.
I saw that. Yeah.
Would you object if I put a help wanted notice right there on that front spot and said we're planning on an Easter egg hunt, we're looking for volunteers, we have the supplies, or we will get you the supplies, we just need somebody to plan the event, okay?
That's cool.
All right. Does anybody, okay, here's what we have for dates in April. And in Maximum, this can't be cutting the grass in April until we had the Easter egg hunt, all right? The date, Palm Sunday is the 5th of April, so I was 4th of April, the 12th of April is Easter, so we have the 11th of April if you want to do it the Saturday before. And then we have the following week, which is the 18th. So I don't know if you want to do it prior to Easter, after Easter, or...
No, prior to Easter.
Okay, do you want to do it the Saturday before Palm Sunday?
Yeah.
That would be the 4th of April.
We may be brushing snow off.
Well, that's what my concern was, is that's why I brought up the 18th, because that would be the week after. We wouldn't have the
advantage.
Unbelievers getting on us about the Easter egg hunt if we waited to the 18th.
But then Easter's over. I mean, you know, if people don't want to come to an Easter egg hunt because they don't...
Well, I just said spring hunt, egg hunt. I didn't say Easter.
They're not going to be there anyway. Yeah.
I just said spring hunt, so I wouldn't have the...
Spring hunt.
The spring egg hunt. Spring egg hunt. Okay.
I'll go to Battlefield. I'm making an Easter egg.
If he says spring hunt, you could do it after.
You could.
If you do it, if you say spring hunt, you could do it after Easter.
Right. I just want to, you guys think about it. It's on the agenda for again next month, okay? And we just need to be able to pick a date so when we get a committee, we'll have a date for them. Same thing with the community celebration, okay? I'd like to get a team for that also. So I would like to get the okay from everybody, or if nobody objects, to put that on there of what our plans is for 2020 in the fall. And we can come up with a date between whenever and whenever. But that's going to be a bigger event to plan than the egg hunt, okay? Is there any other projects that anybody would like to put on the...
I have one question.
Okay. Hang on a minute. Can you hear?
I can.
Okay.
For the fall festival, are you thinking about, like, can the city spring for a band? Or... I saw the because if you're going to have a fall festival and expect people to come, there needs to be music and food.
Yeah.
Well, there's a jam box.
Oh, please.
Well, this is one of the things that, this is one of the things, okay, I want us to, because it falls after the beginning of the fiscal year for 21, all right, because we have to plan the budget for 21,
okay,
whatever we put in on that event is what we have to spend, all right. Okay, so that's why I'm bringing this up. We need to know, get an estimate. I know somebody's thinking bouncy houses or the blow-up slide.
Well, those things you've got to be really careful with because the insurance...
All they have days insurance.
One kid to
right,
break a leg
right, right.
And boy, that's it.
Well, it doesn't come... Here's the thing. And I have to check with Billy Taylor, okay? But Billy Taylor used to be the head maintenance guy over at Oxmoor Country Club, and they would have, he has the connections. He knows how to plan that, okay? So I just need to get with him because he can basically lead everybody in the right direction if I can get his attention. He's a pretty busy guy because now he's down at the convention center. Some maintenance guy down there sees Mayor Fisher all the time down there, so... So,
is this going to be done in a green space?
Yes, it will be done in the green space.
Do you have access to electricity back here if you want a band? So.
Oh, that's a good point. What did you say? How about a generator? Usually a band will have their own.
They'll have to plug it in.
They have a generator. A lot of bands have generators.
Well, again, these are things that we can't. We're the commission. We're just making, giving the idea, providing the opportunity, somebody's got to jump on board. Okay? Nobody jumps on board, it ain't going to happen. So
we're not serving beer?
No, we won't be serving beer.
And you better have a man. But just think liquor,
doesn't
it? Okay. All right.
You want to read poem?
Well, we can probably find some vendor that wants to go out there and sell something. I don't know. Anyhow, and we do have, here's one thing that, it's like I said the last time. Aladdin told me there's a lot of these charity organizations. If we can pick up a charity organization, it can be promoted through the charity organization. And that will gather a lot of people in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Could you take and write a letter that and send it to all the residents? You know, this is the charity that we're going to be supporting. We give them a list of different ones that we've got on board that will say yes. And then whatever we make the money of, we can donate it to the charity. We'd be like, where does she give money to blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, well...
And I don't know if a lot of other cities are doing that, but we could maybe go first.
Aladdin does something similar to this for us, or the canine thing.
And why couldn't you have vendors come and charge them?
Bankers?
Vendors.
Vendors, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So in other words, like food trucks.
Right.
Food trucks.
And we have
people who have things that they want to sell.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Yeah. Like more like a...
Yeah.
Oh.
Like the thing that's down in Prospect every year that everybody scrambles into.
Okay.
But the other thing is you know, we have people that we do business with that might be willing to get involved in it too. So here again, there's a lot of things. I'm not an organizer, community organizer, but I know somebody around here should be. So, all right. But one other thing. This was brought up last month. I know it may not sit well with everybody, but this is something that we have to address in the city of Worthington Hills. I talked with an insurance agent and an insurance adjuster this morning. Dennis was actually in the car when I talked to the one insurance agent. It has to do with illegal immigrants. We have illegal immigrants in the city of Worthington Hills driving vehicles. And they aren't licensed. They're felons to start with. And the problem is when they get pulled over by our security patrol, they cannot be, under their agreement with the captain, cannot report them to ICE. Now, I'm bringing this up because according to the insurance agent and the adjuster, it's really up to the insurance company whether they will pay the claim or not.
Are you talking about the city insurance company?
I am talking about the car insurance company, not ours. I'm talking about the two people involved, the people driving the insured car or uninsured car. Okay, in the case, the one case that we've had so far, it was an insured car. The person was driving, probably with permission, and that was one of the things that came up in the conversation. It would be up to the adjuster investigating the claim whether they would pay it or not. Now, again, we're city officials. We have taken a sworn oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution, the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, state regulations, codes, and everything else. And we need... In a minute, Steve.
Okay.
There's nothing that keeps our patrol from reporting the incident with all the necessary information that we need to report to ICE. Is that right, officer?
Yes, sir.
Mason?
Yes, sir.
That would give us the opportunity to do what's right.
Well, I have a question. The mayor of Louisville, right?
Correct.
Metro Louisville. Has he taken the same oath of office that we've taken?
He has.
Okay, but yet he's not.
Right, that gets into a big political conversation, but...
But you all don't. I mean, you all...
We're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to report.
Okay. You signed some kind of agreement or something?
Correct.
And that's the problem we have. But while they're on our dime, they're on our time, if we set the rules at our home rule city that if we find a violator, they can provide us with that information and we can take the action necessary for ICE. And that's what I'm bringing up tonight. Is there anybody that has any discussion about it?
Well, I have a legal question.
Okay, go ahead.
You mentioned the insurance company and the claim. The only time an insurance company would be involved if there was an accident.
That's what he's talking about. Two people had an accident.
In our city. Right.
Has that happened?
It could.
Okay. Right.
Okay. What I'm saying is, and I'm bringing up to these people, you may have not had somebody involved in an accident. Quiet.
No.
Hang on a second. You may not have had anybody involved in an accident with an illegal. Okay, but I know plenty of them.
But here's the deal. You either have insurance or you don't have insurance.
It's not about the insurance.
Okay, I thought you said it was.
It's about the fact that the people get hurt. We have constituents, okay? If they get hurt in our city because we allow illegals to be in our city driving, okay, and we knew that this illegal was in here and had not reported it as ICE.
But how do you know an illegal doesn't have insurance on the car or the person that whose car they're
because when they stop them, they
ask for insurance.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
But they get cited for no insurance.
This car had insurance. The driver had no driver's license.
Okay, so he gets cited for not having a driver's license.
And they admitted to being illegal.
And what?
They admitted to being illegal to start with.
Driver that hit somebody.
So what are you going to do if you... Yeah, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Okay.
I haven't made a decision. I just want
to... decision is.
So what happens if Officer Tate, who's on our dime, pulls someone over in the instance that you just said and says, I'm illegal? What can you do legally?
Well, Bob's saying I can't report them personally, but I can put their information on the...
Oh, to report them to ICE.
...activity sheet, and then you all would have to report them.
Well, then you would submit a police report that says...
He gave her a ticket.
You wouldn't be telling us something that you wouldn't be telling your boss.
He's our boss when he's on our dime.
We're his boss.
Well, we're his boss.
But let me back up. So I'm driving a car. Now, other than if I say to you I'm an illegal, then you take that for what it's worth, and then you would report that to our safety commissioner. And then the city would take a vote as to whether to report that to ICE. But what if I'm driving a car and I don't admit that I'm an illegal, how do you determine whether I'm legal or not illegal?
I mean, basically, just by running, you know, if they don't have the social to provide me, or if they don't have any verified.
So there'd have to be some nexus or connection to some licensing or something that you could determine. If that none of that hits, then you make the assumption that you don't know for certain that you're illegal.
Right.
Okay. So the issue then is, if I'm driving and I admit to Officer Tate that I'm an illegal, then that would wind up in a police report, and then the police commissioner, if according to what Bob wants to do, report that to ICE. So Steve Schwarter admits he's an illegal. It doesn't get reported to ICE to Officer Tate. But anyway, it ultimately gets reported to ICE if someone is determined to be illegal. That's the point. Okay.
And then that basically provides that corrects the problem that I see we have with our patrols in our city. We're a home rule city. We have the right to enforce the laws, just like Louisville has the right to enforce their laws. Okay.
And this would pertain to anyone, not just a city resident. This would pertain to anybody.
Any illegal that shows up in the city of Worthington Hills and gets stopped would get reported, no matter what their address is.
I honestly feel that we already have city, state, and federal laws that cover this. I honestly do not think the city of Worthington Hills has any business taking this up.
Why not? We're officers of the city. We're sworn
because
oath
like
of officers.
Said, we've got city.
Already
laws that cover it.
We're not. All we're doing is making a proclamation. We're not making up a new ordinance.
You want to turn them in. You mean
that? Yeah. Well, that's my job. That's our job. We have a violator. That's our job to turn them in. I don't care if they're jaywalking. Our job is to report it. If they're parked on the grass illegally, our job is to report it. It's not a matter of whether it's a state, federal, or whatever law. Our job is to uphold any law, whether it's federal, state, county, city. It doesn't matter. We're obligated to report it. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I just have a question for regarding what Officer Tate does.
Okay.
Does he complete an activity report, or whoever's on duty, is that something that's done by every officer every time they work
in
our area?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's an incident report.
It's an incident report.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got some information on it. This would probably be a little bit more in depth what he would give to us when it comes to that. So.
So let me, and I don't understand ICE because my gut feeling with ICE was not good, so I didn't drill down on it
they're felons.
Okay, all right. So I admit to Officer Tate that I'm an illegal alien. Do you arrest me?
He can.
Okay. So what happens is I drive away. So if ultimately they're reported, then ICE is going to use the information on the traffic citation to come and find me.
Whatever.
Only if they get it.
Only if they get it.
Okay, so then what do? They lock me up and jail me?
ICE will decide what they do from that point. You report it. Once it gets reported to ICE, ICE decides how far they want to take it. Okay? All our obligation is to report
ICE
a violation.
All right, well, from a legal standpoint, I guess it's a city policy, so
it's a policy or proclamation or whatever.
But it goes to a vote, I think.
That's right. I'm going to make a motion that these type of incidents, anytime that the patrols on the patrol person on duty makes a stop and either has verification or is told by the person driving that they are illegal.
Or that's determined to non-admission that they are.
Well, I have a problem with the non-admission because then you get into liability.
Do we have any kind of a motion? I'd like a little more information. I would like to know what happens once it gets reported to ICE. Do the people get arrested? Do they get removed from the city?
ICE does. ICE. We can't tell ICE what to do. All we do is report the information.
And apparently they use that information. Go find me and interview me and decide what to do with me.
Right.
They lock me up, kiss me, and say, have a good day.
So in the interim, those people are still out driving.
Right.
And they're still out on the street. And they're still out in the neighborhood.
But we've done our public duty. It's been reported by a public official. As it is now, it's not getting reported by a public official.
It's not getting reported by anybody because
right.
our own Jefferson County Police Department won't report it.
That's exactly right.
And why
I
not?
Actually, it's Metro Government.
Well, Metro Government. Why doesn't Metro report it?
Mayor Fisher's, he's pretty much made us a sanctuary city. We're
unofficial sanctuary city.
Louisville is a sanctuary city.
Unofficial.
Unofficially, but we're just, that's a decision he's made.
Okay. So we are living in a sanctuary city.
County.
But the city of Worthington Hills wants to separate ourselves.
No, Metro Government is a county city government. The police force in Metro Government has ordinance for both city and county. Okay.
It's countywide.
It's countywide. Okay. As a home rule city within Jefferson County, we have the rights to make our own rules on how they are to handle any kind of felon or any kind of criminal while they are on duty under our dime to handle these type of situations. As it is right now, he can't do anything other than report it on the incident that he stopped an illegal. Okay.
So he wouldn't directly report it. It would be reported to Dennis and then Dennis.
Yeah,
you're obligated to report that you're illegal.
To who? I'm sorry.
That's my question. To whom are you obligated to report that you're illegal?
No, I don't.
You don't have to report it to anybody, do you?
No.
Under the when he's working for Metro Government,
right.
But he's working here. What Bob's saying is because he's working for us under contract. If you all decide to have him report to Dennis that he pulled over Steve Schwager, who admitted that he was an illegal alien, that if, depending upon the vote that's exacted whenever it's taken up, if you vote not to do it, then it's a dead issue. If you vote to do it, then Dennis would be required then, by virtue of a positive vote here or a negative vote, however you perceive it, to report that person to ICE. And that information would include the personal information that extracted when Officer Taylor's men write the ticket. You know, Steve Schwager living on Westport Road, blah, blah, blah. So then what Bob's saying is that Dennis reports that, and then ICE comes looking for me, or doesn't come looking for me, but if they find me, they interview me, and depending upon their regulations and the law, would decide whether to let me walk out the door, put me under arrest, or whatever. So that's the vote.
It's basically a municipal order or a proclamation. Is that how you say it, proclamation?
Well, there's an order, or it's either, I think it would have to be an administrative thing. I think it would be a municipal order.
Okay, municipal order. So a municipal order only takes one vote, okay? But, and again, I'll make this motion that when our contractor is on duty, and I'm going to say contractor, security contractor, any individual that is determined by admission or by documentation to be illegal while in within the city limits of Worthington Hills is to provide all the necessary information we need. And I don't know exactly what it all pertains, but
it would be on a citation.
Well,
right.
We don't provide a copy of the citation, but it's included in like the narrative on the activity sheet.
Okay. All right.
And does Dennis get that?
Correct.
All right.
Okay.
That take that information and report it to the proper authority which if it's illegal, it's...
Do the officers that work for you, would they be instructed by you to do this?
Right.
So in other words, they're going to get reported. They're one way, shape, or form, they will report the incident to a public official, public safety and health. And at that point, Dennis can decide if he wants to give it to me to report to ICE, I'll report it. It doesn't matter.
No, but it does matter. Does Dennis report it to ICE, or does Dennis give it to you to report to ICE?
Would you report it, Dennis? You report it.
Yes, I can report it.
Okay. So it would be reported to Public Safety Health Commissioner, who would then take the action to report it to ICE or to the proper authority in case it's another incident that doesn't get reported because of agreement they have with the chief of police. Because there's some other things in, believe it or not, there's some other stuff they don't report either that we have problems with. So basically we need to have the authorization from the commission to report incidents that we can't get into the court system downtown because
when
of
Metro. When are you going to put the gate up at the entrance? When are you going to put the gate up at the entrance and start checking IDs?
One thing too.
Huh?
Well, I'm going to say something. One thing, when he was talking to the insurance agent, the way he explained it, if you have an illegal alien in the city and they're driving without insurance and you have a wreck and maybe somebody gets hurt, maybe they don't, it's up to the adjuster to decide whether to pay off on that claim or not.
Let
he doesn't have
that.
To do it.
But does it involve the
true
city?
Of whether two Caucasians who are going
you wouldn't want to live in the city and have somebody hit your car and hurt you and then he just walks away and nobody do anything about it.
But Dennis, it's the same thing if I don't have insurance in his window. I mean,
right.
Under the law, it's the same. And this is why I'll tell you. If you
right.
don't have this is a bit of advice. If you don't have UIM coverage or UM coverage, that means if someone hits me, like Dennis was saying, and they don't have, so let's say they have a limit of 25, but the damage is medicals $500,000. That's why everybody needs to bump up uninsured motorists. That's underinsured motorists. Uninsured motorists is if anybody, be it Caucasian, Illinois, kicks you and they don't have insurance, you have a rider for uninsured motorists. And these riders are cheap. I can't tell you over the years.
Okay.
But the point I want to make is true whether he's an illegal alien or a Caucasian who was born in Kentucky. It's the same
thing. Okay. Let's get off the subject of insurance and get on the subject of you as the commissioner, have allowed this to happen because you knew. And I know there's illegals. I know two houses that are full of illegals. Okay? And you allow this to exist in your city without it being properly reported when they were already caught once. And now one of your constituents has been...
Have you reported the house that you know is full of illegals?
I refuse to answer that question.
I'm just asking.
I'm a public citizen also, besides being the mayor. I can do what I want, but the thing is we have a contractor. Our contractor stops a vehicle. The contractor can't report, okay? The fact is we as public officials need to look at it as when we control within our city limits, the rules of the law.
Correct.
At what level we want to do it.
You're the mayor, and you know the rules, and you just said to us, we have to enforce the law because we took an oath.
Right.
And you sit right there and say, I know a house that is full of illegals, but you haven't reported it.
I didn't say I didn't report it.
Time out.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead, Commissioner Kim.
Okay, do you work for other cities or other small cities or know other people? Have other small cities voted on this, and are they basically asking officers that are working outside of Metro to report it?
I only have experience with two other small cities, and last time I worked for them, they haven't done this, but I don't know about all the other small cities.
Thank you.
I'm not worried about the other small cities. I'm worried about Worthington Hills.
And there are already laws. My point is there are laws in place.
It can't be, but we can't enforce it. It's not being enforced in Jefferson County, but we can enforce it in our little town of the city of Worthington Hills. He's not, he's in his job, even when he's working with us, until we make a municipal order and state that he's to report these incidents to us, to report to ICE, he can't legally do it. He cannot report anything other than the incident on the incident report. We can't take it to ICE without having a municipal order, because the way the rules are in Jefferson County, they're not enforcing it with ICE.
This is democracy at work here. You know, whenever anybody's ready to take a vote, I guess you need to take it. But, you know, everybody has an opinion and they can vote.
Again, I'm going to state that it's real simple, okay? When our security contractor, just say security contractor, because that'll cover anybody that we do work with, or is providing our security, has an incident with an illegal alien within our city limits, that the necessary information required by ICE for us to report it be provided to our public safety and health commissioner to proceed with reporting it to ICE.
I will say this, municipal orders only need one reading. So
that's right.
Also, I would throw out this caveat, that if this gets passed, that Dennis doesn't do anything when he reports it. He puts in there that I have no personal knowledge about this information. It was gathered by our security contractor, because he never wants to be put in a position of seeing anything other than more of the information that he has.
Whatever we got to put in the municipal order, once it gets decided, if it gets decided, then it gets put in there so we protect our commissioner.
So we're going to vote on a municipal order that hasn't even been written yet?
Well, no, I think what you do is read it and then make it effective, if it passes, effective next month.
Right.
Because I would have to prepare and secure the signatures and stuff. So, in effect, it would be two readings. I'm just pointing that out. But officially, it needs one. But reality and circumstance dictates that it would have to be, if it's voted on positively, I would prepare a municipal order, disseminate it, and then we can discuss it at the next meeting. And then if it passes, you can even pass it for vote next month, then I can prepare the municipal order.
We could tweak it for a whole month by the next month, and then have the approval on the wording.
Vote.
But we need the vote to put to make a municipal order for reporting the public safety and health commissioner to be able to be given the information so that it can be reported to ICE.
Why don't I prepare for this board?
No.
What do you want to do? It's your motion, Bob.
I'm making a motion.
Okay. So you want to vote on it tonight?
I want to vote on it tonight, because it's just a matter of tweaking the municipal order.
It's going to be basically what you propose.
Right. So, there's a motion on the table. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. I will take a roll call vote, and I'll start. Mayor Stoner says yes. Commissioner Hall? What?
Can't hear you.
Hang on. We've lost his voice.
He's heard our voices.
Are you there? I don't know where your voice went. Hang on a minute. Did you lose your voice?
Oh, gadgets.
through two.
Can he hear you, Bob?
Yeah. He says I.
Oh, okay.
Roll call vote. That's a verbal vote.
All right. Did I get you yet? I'm going to restart you.
I don't like the implication that if we vote against this, we're bad citizens.
You're not bad.
Or we're bad officials.
No, you're protecting our community. You're protecting other people.
Beg your pardon?
You're protecting other people.
But I'm saying if we
are you there?
No, I don't feel so bad.
Okay. I guess I'm going to have to check my volume on the. I might have it. It may be sleep mode after a while.
Vote any way you want.
Okay.
Vote any way you want.
Can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you okay now, Commissioner Paul. Would you state your position on this motion?
Yeah, I have a question. The
okay.
Position's aye. But is it possible that the city can be liable if someone was harmed by one of those individuals? Is there a law where we could be held liable because we know and we don't report it?
I don't think so, because you wouldn't know what ICE would do. I mean, it'd be a hard argument to make. I think that
they sue everybody these days.
Could they sue? But I don't think it would win.
I wouldn't say that, because
the greater risk is if someone says I'm an illegal and it turns out they're not and they're reported, mm-hmm. then. They say, I never said that, and I'm not trying to put the police in a bad spot, just you see people change their minds, so you get set up. I'm an illegal, and I suppose arrest them, and all of a sudden, you're complicit in
that. Well, if they don't provide a driver's license, and they have a strong accent, I think, anyhow, we don't need to discuss, we're in a boat.
What did you just say? And they have a strong accent? Is that what you just said?
I did say that. And call me down. I don't care.
Let's finish the vote.
Finish the vote.
Aye.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Paul. Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Commissioner Bedell?
No.
Commissioner Campbell?
I abstain. I honestly
abstain is just as good as a yes.
Well,
okay. Commissioner Campbell abstained. So the motion passes with three yeas, a no by Commissioner Bedell, and abstain by Commissioner Campbell.
Does it?
So it wins.
Did you abstain or did you vote no?
I abstained.
Okay.
Well, like he said,
that's
tomorrow. All right, we'll over the next month send out the municipal order, and we'll tweak it and get the same wording. Okay. New business. Any new business?
Dan, you had said something about the Rumkey invoice. The way the Rumkey, I looked at the Rumkey invoices today, and the way we get a bill with an account number. But there is it's one bill on one sheet of paper under one account number. But the invoice is for the city, and the invoice is for the dumpsters over at the apartment complex. That's, to me, I don't understand that. I don't know why they can't take and put all the services under one account number and one invoice and get paid. You know, because before we've had all this confusion. I got an email from Rumkey just this week that said, we don't think you paid December 2018 bill. invoice number, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't even have, I can't even find that invoice. So it, to me, it would just be simpler if they had one account number and one invoice number for the whole bill instead of dividing it up like that. There's no reason, I don't see a reason for dividing it up.
That's them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Would you, I mean, does anybody have any, you're the treasurer, do you have any objection to me asking them if they can do that, put it all under one account number and one invoice number? Then that way, if the bill is paid, it's paid. None of this 6 months, a year later saying, oh, wait, you didn't pay for the dumpsters.
It doesn't matter to me. I also think I have a handle on it the way it is. I have a handle on it the way it's being billed right now.
Oh, do you?
I don't have a problem with it. There haven't, I don't think there's been any problems with Rumpke being paid for any usage from January 1st of 2019.
Okay, well, fine then. I won't.
The issues are historical issues trying to get caught up on stuff.
But I was just, when I got that email saying you owe us this much money from December of 2018, I'm thinking, you know, well, I won't do anything then, so.
I think what probably happened is they had two different accounts before they came together. And then when we said, hey, the city of Worthington Hills is paying all our trash pickup, and oh, by the way, we're also going to pay for these dumpsters, Rumpke probably said, okay, let's just take these two accounts, put them on the same piece of paper, and send it to you and pay. So it's still two accounts. If we had picked up Rumpke, was Rumpke... Did the condos join Worthington Hills before or after Rumpke?
No, they were...
We've been with Worthington Hills
when
they were
built. We transferred over from Waste Management to Rumpke. They had the contract for the dumpsters over there plus the trash pickup in the city. And we know what the whole problem is, but...
Do you want to see the December 18 bill with Kazwana?
No, I mean, I don't want to see it. I just thought, you know, I mean, you said you feel like it's been paid, you know, so.
I think we might owe them the $300. So what happened, there was like a month that wasn't paid, and I called up Rumpke, and I was like, let's get this settled. And it was confusing, and I thought that we paid him $16,000-some-odd 1 month. I thought that got everything straightened out. But then, just when we were talking this past week, I think we might owe him the $300. The problem is with me proving it is that I don't have anywhere where on their records that they show that we were ever caught up. Like I go back to January of 18, and we owed him $23,000.
Yeah.
So it was a matter of when Roy was making payments, okay, it was catching up. So I don't have a good starting balance. I think we probably owe him the money. The other money will get paid this week. He had two.
That was his second question. What about the October whatever amount? And I was like, It's only November. Hold your horses.
Because this bill that was approved tonight, I think, is the October bill.
It's whatever we get in the mail.
I thought
Yeah, so this is the October 16th bill, which they want by October 31st. So it's a month, you know, it's 15 days late.
Well, you had said something about setting up that on an automatic draft.
I thought we already voted.
I did that with the water and the LG&E. I'm not sure what the wording of the vote was. I thought it was utilities. I don't know if this is considered utilities.
It is. Yeah.
So
your trash is the utility. So you.
I can do that. It's going to put two payments in the same month.
As long as it's in the same fiscal year, I don't care.
How do y'all feel? Same fiscal year for right now. If we keep hanging on and hanging on and hanging on, okay, if we don't resolve this now, when fiscal year 2020 starts, we're going to still have this same thing where it lags behind.
That's why I think we need to just get them caught up,
yeah.
And then, you know, that's why I was saying, wouldn't it be better instead of this two invoice?
They usually come on the 16th, which means we should be having the city meeting. I don't know when we get these bills in the mail, but I had a feeling they're coming in after our city meeting. And that's the reason why they're always being a month behind.
That happened over at the condominiums with the water bill. They were always sending the water bill, and we were always late getting it paid. And they were tacking on almost $500 in late charges every month. And so we set it up on an automatic payment, and it comes out before, you know, we know how much it's going to be.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Well, you know, not all the time, but I mean, we know to have that amount set aside for it. But good Lord, we, you know, just get them
my
caught
first
up.
Reaction is you're going to have 13 months in this fiscal year because we've paid one every month, and it's always for the prior month. So then to get caught up with the same month.
Okay, right? Check with Mary, see what she recommends. And then what we can do is, come next spring, we amend the budget. We'll make the necessary adjustment if that's what we need to do to tack on that extra money for this extra month.
So I don't change the way we pay them until I talk to Mary?
Right, we can do it next month. We can decide next month.
Decide what? If we're going to pay them on that?
Yeah. Is that agreeable? You check with Mary, our auditor, and see what she recommends? Because she's got a good point. We're going to end up with 13 months. Well, I'm not really sure we're going to end up with 13 months because she always asks for the bills to find out what the service period is. We may show... She is probably going to say do it. And I
think she'll say do it because she does. She says if the service period, like at the end of the year, the fiscal year, if we haven't paid the bill for that period, she tacks it on. So if it's been paid, we're going to say, it's just like at the end of the year with the road fund. We're like, hey, this road fund was committed. They just haven't billed us yet, so we tacked it on.
Yeah.
So that's probably...
Right.
I would say that that's what she would say.
And then you could get it set up on the automatic payment.
Right.
I think that's
okay,
a good idea.
We'll have this on the agenda next month.
So don't set it up on automatic payment yet.
What do you all want to do? Want to set up? Let's wait for Mary. I'd rather have the auditor give us the okay. All right. So this is...
Does that have to be... If I get that information, does that have to be approved at a city meeting? Or if the auditor says, yeah, I'll go ahead and do it, I can just do it.
Okay, there's an idea. All right, do you want to allow Dan?
When I get approval from the city auditor, can I do it?
Yeah. Then would you?
If I get approval from the city auditor to set up on automatic pay, I can do that.
With,
sure.
So that we have, you know, it
without
may show
it next week and getting a vote.
Yes.
Right. Okay. All right.
And I will. It's okay for me to tell everybody that?
Yeah, just sure. Just send it out in an email, say whatever Mary told.
So that way if he sends me any more emails, I can you need to talk to your accounting department, sir.
Okay. What else we got here?
I have a new item.
No.
Okay, hang on. All right, what you got for a new item there?
Okay, I believe it was London. I thought that maybe the Girl Scouts really needed a thank you letter for the city. So she created a letter.
Yeah.
I didn't know who wanted to sign it. So I have copies here. If it's just signed by the mayor, if it's just signed by the commissioners, or if it's signed by all of the above.
Sign all above.
Okay.
What do y'all think? I think sign all above.
I agree with her.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the letter. I'll read it for you. The City of Worthington Hills Commission sends our sincere thanks to the young lady for the Girl Scout troops for a job well done. I was not able to get the troop numbers exactly. Your idea to make street addresses and fire hydrants more visible at night by painting the house numbers and marking the location of the fire hydrants on the curbs with reflective paint has proven to be more helpful than anyone could have imagined. Your workmanship and follow-through on the project are deserving of high praise. Your project made the city of Worthington Hills safer for all residents. We wish each and every one of you a bright future, and thank you again for a project well done.
Thank you very much.
So I'll pass this over to the mayor, please, if you want to sign it, and then I'll get it out in the mail tomorrow.
You want to sign it for Friday?
I'll wait for you.
Okay. I'll sign it Friday.
All right.
Or you can FedEx it to my hotel, and I'll sign it FedEx it back.
Always a comedian. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that.
Very well done.
Very well. Very well done.
Kudos.
Your kudos.
They did a wonderful job. They really did.
Right.
And it was, I honestly think it was a bigger job than they thought when they
said that. Oh, yeah. Nobody realized how big this city is until they start walking it.
They really worked it.
Okay, one other thing before we move on to the commission reports. Financial interstatements. This is what we did last year after the election. It's the what you report to the ethics board once a year. It's due by the 31st of December at 5 p.m. If you've got a copy of your one you did last year and you haven't changed, this little page that talks about who you are, who your business is, or current address, that kind of stuff. It's financial interest. Required by the ethics ordinance to be reported to the ethics boards. This interest statement is to be filled out once a year, signed on the back.
I don't remember seeing that.
Sure you did.
I think they
still
wanted financial interest statement.
Yeah, you filled, after the election last year, that was all filled out. And
I guarantee you it's still out. If you have blank one, I'll fill out another one.
I will send you all a copy.
She filled out that one? I don't remember.
Yeah, I filled a couple of them out so far.
Well, you would have. You've been on here forever.
Well,
You're like the cornerstone, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I'll send this form. I just wanted to make sure.
And who do we turn it into?
You turn it into the ethics board, but if you'll, basically, they keep it in their file. The ethics board has a file with copies of these in them. Okay.
I'm on Social Security.
Well, it's not that hard. All right. Any other new business? Okay. Commissioner reports. Who would like to be first? Okay, Commissioner Campbell, go ahead.
Okay. And this might even kind of come under, not really. I talked with Brittany Sovey with the Precision Concrete Company. We met them at the KLC training in Lexington, and she was originally scheduled to come, but then with the auditors coming, she said, let's just wait till December. So she will be coming next month to give a short presentation and information concerning sidewalk repair. And so then on October 17th, I took the contract for snow and ice removal from Miner & Company to our attorney, Steve Schrager. He will revise it and send it to Billy Miner for a signature. Then also called Steve Triplett from All Terrain Paving, told him that the commission approved the crack filling on Halifax Drive and Lunenburg Drive. On the 22nd of October, I met with Steve. We drove Lunenburg and Halifax, and I also drove with Don Eichenberg to check the condition of the sidewalks in our city. On the 25th of October, I approved by email the contract with Miner & Company, and Mayor Bob Stoneham and Billy Miner have now signed it, and we have a valid contract for snow and ice removal. On October 29th, the crack filling on Halifax Drive was completed and the work on Lunenburg Drive began. Due to inclement weather, it has not been completed. The last time I talked with Steve, they said they will attempt to complete it this year, this fall, if the weather cooperates, and it does not look like it's going to right now. November 11th, inclement weather and snow. However, due to the warmth of the pavement and temperatures the next day, did not order Brian. I conferred with Bob, with the mayor, and he checked the roads at 2 in the morning when he was out, and it was clear. So, thank you, Bob. On the 12th, did a mail run with Bev, and then Bev Lush, the clerk, and also checked with MSD concerning the work order for the intersection of Northumberland Drive and Bay Run Drive. She said, came back and said the completion date is scheduled by January 30th of 2020. So it's on their schedule, and hopefully it will get done.
Put your chains on Bay Run Drive.
Yes, they did, because we've got a lot of weather before January, the end of January. But
well, maybe we'd be like 2017.
Maybe.
Knock on wood. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Commissioner Beville.
Okay. On November the 1st, on November the 5th, I met with Jim Pearson from LGE Outdoor Lighting, and Don Eichenberger was there as well. We revisited Queen Anne, Luray, and Heathsville courts to find alternative locations for installing the cable needed for streetlights. Mr. Pearson was able to find new locations on Luray and Heathsville and did so without any incurring any additional expenses to the city. However, we will lose one light on Queen Anne because there is no cost-effective way to run the cable. In addition, we looked at two viable locations for for the new street light on Maxwell Circle, and we chose the location in front of 4405 because it will light up more of the court of the circle.
Is that the center of the circle? Excuse me.
It's more on the center than it is on the for the other one, which was at 4403. It's more on the center.
Okay.
I asked the clerk to send the new proposed project letter, a map, and the permission form to the three property owners at the new locations on Maxwell, Queen Anne's, and Heathsville, and she did so on November the 15th, and thank you very much. She personally obtained permission from the property owner on Luray Court for them to access her property to lay the cable. And LGE is going to go ahead and move forward with installing the street light on Boynton Court. They will start work on that in probably a couple of weeks. I answered three phone calls from property owners with questions about services provided by Rumpke. And on November the 8th, I visited new property owners on Lunenburg Drive after receiving a call that their garbage had been picked up, but the recycling had not. This is a brand new, this is a very young couple. This is their first property, and they were just, they just didn't understand about garbage pickup and recycling, and so I'll drive over there. So I did. The previous owners had left the recycling bin just stuffed full, but it was full of recyclable materials. The new owners, and I'm a little bit upset with Rumpke, but I digress. But anyway, they did not know how to turn the bin.
No.
So when they pulled it out to the curb, they didn't have it facing in the right direction, so Rumpke didn't empty it. They left it. And they were all in a tizzy because they were moving in. They had a lot of cardboard. They had no place to put it. So I contacted Chris Pierce with Rumpke, and I requested a special pickup for them. And that was done on November the 11th. They came out, they emptied their bin, they took all their cardboard from when they unpacked, and so they are happy residents now. I did streetlight checks on October the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, 22nd, and the 29th, and on November the 5th and the 12th. There was one outage at 11913 Caswell Drive, which was reported and repaired.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there a way, I want to bring this up because Commissioner Hall brought it up. Is there a way that the city could either purchase or request that all our lights be changed to LEDs?
We talked about that when Mr. Pearson, as the lights go out and have to be replaced, they will replace them with LEDs. All of the new lights that go in that are going to be installed, those will be LEDs.
Oh, are they out of the supplies of the old lights then? Because the first
they're running out of. They have to use up what they have.
Right. Well, you just said that as our lights go out on the street, we would get a new LED.
Correct. When they have to replace the bulb.
On our current lights.
When they replace the bulbs, after they run out of the supply
of
halogens they have in stock, then they will start using their LED stock.
Are we allowed to purchase LEDs and have them replaced now?
I can ask.
That would be a good idea.
Have they indicated how significant the savings would be by running LEDs?
I didn't hear him.
You wanted to know how significant the savings would be once we get the LEDs?
That was in a report that I think I did several months ago. That's in some old minutes. I believe I reported it's about $2 per light.
Savings?
Mm-hmm. Per year?
Per year?
Per year or per month?
I'll have to look that up.
That sounds awful. Not a lot.
Well, no, what I'm saying, when I reported that they would be replacing, or all the new lights would be LED lights, I did report that there would be a savings per month, is what I reported.
Okay.
So it's per month. That's a couple of dollars per month. Per light.
Per light.
Per light.
Per light. Per
light. The question, I guess, becomes, does it make sense to change them if we can purchase them? Is it cost effective?
Well, that's what she's going to get the
numbers. That's what I'm going to find out. Unless...
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Commissioner Metcalf.
But we did talk about that with Mr. Pearson that day that we were out here because I asked about the LED lights. And I said, you know, are we starting to get LEDs when the lights go out and we replace the bulb? And he said, we have to use the supply we have.
They have to use it.
You know.
We're asking if we can purchase.
But you want a special.
We want to purchase them.
You
want to
purchase them.
We want to. To
I don't know why I should tell the commissioner. I didn't think of that, but I will certainly ask. That's a good question.
You might
have
not
well, the point.
No, that was Commissioner Hall's question.
3 years.
Okay.
So the point is, if their inventory is going to last for another 3 years, does it make sense to purchase the LEDs? If it's cost effective, we'll just purchase them and change them out now and take the savings.
And the thing is the LEDs are supposed to last longer.
Well, I'm aware. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know they're supposed to last longer, and they are more cost effective. Yes.
Right.
But now, whether or not LG&E will allow the city to purchase them and put them on hold, are you asking them to come out and replace all the bulbs right now?
Come out if we're purchasing them. Come out and replace them now.
Okay. I want to make sure I ask the right question.
Okay. because we immediately pick up the savings per month per poll.
What?
We would immediately pick up the savings per month per poll, which would sometime along the line equal out to the cost of the original bulbs. And then as those bulbs go out sometime in the 20-year future, they could replace them with their supply by then.
So you want to? I have a two-part question. Would the city of Worthington Hills be able to purchase LED bulbs and have all the current bulbs in the city replaced with those immediately?
Right.
Okay.
Are some of them already LED?
No.
The new one that will go in on Boynton will be any of the new lights they install, they come with LED poles.
All new poles get
already work.
Right. All new poles get LEDs.
Yeah, all new poles will have LEDs.
Anything else?
That's it, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks. Okay, Commissioner Metcalf, sorry.
That's all right. Drove city on multiple occasions, went to post office with Mayor Stoneham on multiple occasions. Went to storage area with Mayor Stoneham on one occasion. Received a call from a resident at 4002 Northumberland about a car broken into. I called Derby City Protection. Issued eight parking passes to 4800 Looneyburg Drive for 11/27/19. Received a call from a resident at 119102 Halifax about neighbor at 119100 driving through their yard. I called Derby City Protection on that. Called Derby City Protection about a car parked on lawn and sidewalk on Luray Court. Received a text from Beverly Lush about a car parked in curve on Dickerson Court. And Derby City, this is Derby City activity report for October 16th through November the 16th. Parking citations / warning 24, theft deterrent 4, dispatch run 2, resident complaints 3, traffic stops 23, suspicious vehicle 4, pedestrian stop 4, and code regulation cases open 7, and that's it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Whatever happened with that citation? That didn't they do a citation on that RV?
I believe they did. Have you heard any more about it?
In his last report, I think, didn't you re-report all those RVs?
Yeah, I've opened several tickets with codes and regulations. It's something
that happened. Did we do an ordinance about that?
Yeah, but if it's coming from Metro, I think that's what Officer Tate's saying.
Yeah,
no, this is, no, we
use the City of Louisville's ordinance right. for RVs.
Okay.
All right.
Can you tell us what that says?
Yes, it's in an email, but the short part of it is it has to be behind the front facade of the house that was parked in the driveway. And then if it's over a certain amount of feet, it has to be in a...
What is that footage?
25 feet.
Is it 25 feet?
Yeah, 25 feet cannot be parked on premises for so many... only can be all parked on the premises for so many days, and then it has to be removed. In other words, it's basically loading and unloading and not letting
any electricity run into it.
Yeah.
They did have electricity.
I saw that.
So, okay. Commissioner Hall, do you have anything?
I do. Maximus Lawn Care Mowing, the main green space on 10-5, 10-19, and 11-1. Did some general cleanup on the Boynton and the flagpole areas, trimmed the boxwood bushes, holly bushes. That was all done on 10-20 and 10-6. Some leaf removal was done at Boynton Court, and that kind of is ongoing. It's a bit of a mess over there. That happened on 11-3 and 10-27. There was a tree that came down between Mecklenburg Court and Queen Anne's and it fell across the fence at 4518 Mecklenburg. That tree's been brought down to the ground, so it's safe, but it's not been removed yet. I cleaned up the guy's yard at 4518, and the good news is...
Oh, you locked up.
This time in.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
And then the irrigation system was put to bed first of the month, and fourth of six applications for weed prevention was done on Boynton and the flagpole. That's it.
Okay, what was that about? The good news was on the Mecklenburg. Because he broke up.
Good news about what, buddy? Say that again, please.
He broke up after about the cleanup of 4518 Mecklenburg.
Oh, the good news was when I cleaned his yard up, the gentleman's name's Kevin, he said that he's going to replace his fence in the spring, so he wasn't worried about the damage.
Okay.
It damaged his fence.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Citizens' participation after sitting here for nearly 2 hours, you get the final word. If there's no final word, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville. Second. Anybody?
A second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. I'm glad to hear from you. All right. You all have a great evening. Thank you very much for attending.